This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Robert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Where do our modern Christmas customs come from? Now, most people are not really interested in knowing the truth, but if you are of an inquisitive nature, and if you want to really know and learn the truth, we have prepared a free, absolutely free booklet. It has a very provocative title. It says, "Don't Keep Christmas." It's not just written for non-Christians. It is written, actually, primarily for Christians who are not aware of where Christmas customs and the whole celebration of the Christmas festival come from. Now, I like to talk about Christmas customs today a little bit, and I want to show you a little bit the origins. Now, one of the very interesting Christmas customs are, of course, the Christmas carols, and I'd like to read to you from our booklet. I give you a few excerpts. I cannot obviously read everything to you on this short program, but we say about Christmas carols, the Reader's Digest publication, Why in the World, had this to say on page 192. It's a very interesting book by the Reader's Digest Association, Why in the World, and that is what they are saying. The first Christmas songs, written in Latin and solemn in tone, were probably composed in the 4th century when the Roman Church made the festival a holiday. But carols date back to pagan times. The Greeks used them in place, and Romans sang them during the Saturnalia, which was a heathen celebration. For centuries, the church banned carols because of their heathen associations. Now, what about Christmas gifts? We all are giving Christmas gifts, at least many of us have done so in the past. But it says in our booklet that a very popular custom associated with Christmas is the exchange of presents. It is claimed that this custom originated with the biblical example of the Magi, or wise man, giving presents to the Christ child. However, listen to this quotation from the Encyclopedia of Religion, 1987, which says, "Giving gifts at Christmas probably originated with the pagan Roman custom of exchanging gifts at the New Year," the Roman New Year, that is, and the Bibliotheca Sacra had this to say, "The interchange of presents between friends is alike characteristic of Christmas and the Saturnalia, and must have been adopted by Christians from the pagans, as the admonition of Tertullian plainly shows." Now, what about Santa Claus? We've all heard about Santa Claus, obviously. It's closely associated, we say here, with the giving of presents at Christmas time, in the figure of Santa Claus, who is also called St. Nicholas. But in German and Germanic legends, Woden, or Odin, hid a holy tree. And when someone came close to that tree on December 25, he found presents under it. In addition, Woden's day on which he was worshipped was December 6. Woden, or Odin, is portrayed as an old man with a big hat, a white coat, a long gray beard, who is riding a horse. Now, although the modern Santa Claus rides a sleigh pulled by reindeer, this was not always the case. According to tradition, Santa Claus originally rode a horse. And I remember when I was young, a young boy in Germany, on December 6, we would go after a guy with a long white beard and a red robe who was riding a white horse, portraying, of course, Santa Claus, or Nicholas, as we call him over there. Earl Count, BD, PhD, professor of anthropology, states in 4,000 Years of Christmas, "We do not really know when the Christ child was born, or the time and place when Christmas was first celebrated, or exactly how it was that after and over the centuries, a bishop saint of Asia Minor and a pagan god of the Germans merged to become Santa Claus. Of most interest to us, however, is the fact that Woden, or Odin, has become Santa Claus, or as he is better called, St. Nicholas." You say, St. Nicholas, a very interesting name. Where does that name come from? Now, in pagan legends, spirits or gods of the water were worshipped as Nick or Nickel. And all of them, you guessed it, were worshipped on November, or rather December 6. And in these legends, Santa Claus or St. Nicholas is accompanied by a servant called Knecht Ruprecht, a very famous figure in Germany. In the Pageantry of Christmas, which is published by the editors of the Life magazine, we are told this. Knecht Ruprecht, the assistant to St. Nicholas, was as capable of punishing as he was of rewarding, and the horns on his head reveal his demonic origin. He was also known as Black Peter. On December 5, 2013, the local wrote about another interesting custom, and specifically the southern parts of Germany and Austria. It says the legendary Krampus, usually described as a beast-like demonic figure with long goat's horns and straggly hair, comes to capture naughty children and carries them off in a sack to his mountain lair, according to Alpine tradition. Stories of the Krampus talk of him coming out to punish bad children around the eve of St. Nicholas Day. And then it says that dressing up as Krampus or his fellow monster, the noisy Perchten, has been part of southern German tradition for centuries. They are St. Nicholas' dark alter ego. So we see right here the connection. All of this goes back to some demonic belief in some figures associated with Christmas. Now, what about Christmas candles? Christmas candles play an extremely important role in the celebration of Christmas. But why do people light candles at Christmas? Now, again, this booklet I quoted earlier, Reader's Digest, Why in the World, explains ancient peoples, aware of the changing seasons, lit fires to encourage the return of spring. Romans, during their Saturnalia, decked their homes with lighted candles and greenery. When we put candles or fairy lights on a Christmas tree today, we are following traditions of ancient Rome, this book is pointing out. Now, of course, you are all waiting for me to talk about the Christmas tree. What about that one? Is that of pagan origin? Some say, oh, it's not. The Germans came up with that in the Middle Ages. Nonsense. People who say that don't know anything about history. We say in our booklet that the Christmas tree, an evergreen tree, was a pagan object of worship. It exemplifies on a large scale its pagan and demonic origins and the incorporation of pagan customs into Orthodox Christianity. James Frather points out in his book, The Golden Bough, the original character of Attis. Now, Attis was one of those pagan gods people worshipped. As a tree spirit, is brought out plainly by the part which the pine tree plays in his legend and ritual. After his death, Attis is said to have changed into a pine tree. And of course, there are other gods who also are looked upon as tree spirits or who allegedly change into pine trees and other trees. For instance, the god of Egypt, Osiris, was one of them. In one of the inscriptions, it says that Osiris is referred to as the one in the tree. Then you have the Greek god Dionysus, the bull-shaped god of the vine. One of the inscriptions again talks about Dionysus in the tree. The Delphic oracle commanded the Corinthians to worship a particular pine tree equally with the god. One author wrote that the Christmas tree recapitulates the idea of tree worship, gilded nuts and balls symbolizing the sun. The Christmas tree was absorbed from the honors paid to Odin's sacred fir. Later on in our booklet on page 20, we say a few more things about the fact that, frankly, the Bible prohibits doing these kind of things. Some may say, well, you know, okay, so it's pagan customs, but we put a Christian mantle on them and that makes it all right. Well, it doesn't make it all right. You might want to look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 to 9, where Christ warns against adding ideas and concepts in religious worship to the commandments which God has given. But I'd like to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning at verse 29, which has this to say. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourselves that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in this way. And then he says, you shall not add to it, nor take away from it. In other words, from the word of God. The Ryrie Study Bible even points out here in this context that the Israelites were not even to inquire about the worship of the Canaanites, lest they be tempted to incorporate aspects of it into their worship of God. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 to 5, we find a description of the Christmas tree, which God condemns. It says in here, thus says the Lord, do not learn the way, other translations have here religion, of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are futile, for one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold, they fasten it with nails and hammers, so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree, they cannot speak. They must be carried, because they cannot go themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Now some say, well, you know, this is not really talking about a Christmas tree, but they forget the fact that the spirits which those pagans worshipped changed according to their beliefs into a tree, or that they dwelt in that tree. So Jeremiah, of course, under godly inspiration, is talking exactly about that kind of wrong worship. And he's saying, don't have anything to do with it. You know, I like to read in conclusion two scriptures from the New Testament, which again tell you why you should not be involved in keeping Christmas and its customs. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, and the New International Version translates it this way. Do not go beyond what is written. You don't find anything in the Bible about Christmas. The word Christmas doesn't even show up in the Bible. We also know, and the booklet points us out, that Christ was not born at all on December 25, not anywhere near that time. This was all taken from paganism, and a quote-unquote Christian mantle was put on it. But the Bible says, do not go beyond what is written. And the other passage, taken from the Living Bible, you can find in 2 John, verse 9. And listen carefully what it says. For if you wander beyond the teaching of Christ, you will leave God behind. Please don't make that mistake of leaving God behind. Don't wander beyond the teachings of Christ. If you want to hear a lot more about why Christmas is not a festival which Christians should keep and observe, please request our free booklet, Don't Keep Christmas. Much is stated in this booklet, which I, of course, didn't have the time to go into today. But you, if you want to really know the truth, we'll have an eye-opener which you probably have never had before. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.